Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big part in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at RocketMortgage.com/HamNation. By Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/HamNation and enter promo code HamNation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 322 for October 18th, 2017. K7AGE in the house and JOTA.
Hi, everybody. It's summertime in the Ozarks. It's supposed to be fall, but it's really not, but that's okay. I'm Bob Heil, K9EID, and we are on Ham Nation. We're bringing you a show about ham radio where we have fun, we learn things, and tonight we're going to learn a lot of things about radio, about Boy Scouts. Randy's going to get out his solder. Well, we'll just crank it up and show you what's happening. First of all, let's say hi to Amanda. She's here at the top of the show tonight. Amanda, how are you?
I'm doing excellent. And do you know who else is doing good tonight? Our Valerie. She's home. She made it home last night. I think it was later in the evening. She finally flew into O'Hare, I think is the airport there in Chicago. I'm sure Jerry was ecstatic to see her. Anyhow, she's home. She's doing well. I think she's a little sleepy. And we do have this awesome picture of her. Look at that.
Look at that.
I am so proud of her. I mean, that was three whole solid weeks that she was there in Puerto Rico. Sleeping on a cot. She had to build her own fort. Not only that, but she was doing God's work down there. Not only her, but the rest of her team. I think there was actually about 22 of them doing some serious communication, saving lives, getting people evacuated from hospitals that needed urgent care. People evacuated to hospitals that needed urgent care, not to mention food distribution and getting Arecibo online. So not fully, obviously, but I think she's glad to be home, and we cannot wait to hear the stories from her for sure. Now, another one of my friends is leaving today to replace her. His name is Neil, N1TEW. Neil, and I send you the best of luck as well. I know you have some big boots to fill out there, and I hope you and your other nine operators do a great job. So there you guys go. I can't wait to hear from her next week.
Yes, it'll be great, and God bless all of them. And I know that Jerry has given up an awful lot to let her go down there all this time, but she helped a lot of people, and I was really proud of Sarah and the team at Heil Sound that jumped on the board within a day. Why, the AIR all called them, and bingo, they had Pro 7s, 25 of them, I think. So they're well fixed for microphones and headsets, and she's doing so well. So we'll look forward to next week, that's for sure. Thanks a lot for that, Amanda. And we have real special guest tonight. He's been around, but look where he is tonight. Randy, K7AGE. He's at the helm of the big boy. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Bob. How you guys doing?
We're anxious to see what you got in your little bag of goodies. I see meters and resistors, and I don't know, you and George are going to crank it up, and we'll go down and see what's going on. Right now, we'll be back to you. George, what are you doing down in Mississippi? You got any surprises?
Well, not a real big surprise. You know, I've had that IC7300 sitting here in front of me for, I don't know, the past month or so. Well, you notice it's gone now. We had our 12th anniversary show on Amateur Logic this past weekend, And we gave that away, and I'll let you know who won it here in a little bit. And, yeah, we're just going to kind of come back and kick the soldering iron around with Randy a little bit.
Okay, well, we all want to congratulate you and Tommy and the whole crew. That's 12 years. That's a lot of shows. It's a lot of time, tremendous efforts to do that. And I know you've helped so many, George, and I want to personally thank you for all that you guys do. And we're honored to have you as part of Ham Nation. So keep up the good work, man. And then we're going to move on down a little further. And here's Don. Don Wilbanks, how are you?
Oh, I'm just happy to be here, Bob. Yeah, so proud of Val. 12 years for Amateur Logic. That's awesome. Randy, good to see you on here. We've got a big show. I know, Bob, you've got Pine Board. We've got Newsline. We've got a little bit of video from Dr. Tamitha Scove. Incidentally, tomorrow is her birthday. So happy birthday, Dr. T, tomorrow. And that's awesome. And, of course, we've got the world listening to us on the big shortwave, 100,000 watt WTWW at 5085 and 12.105. So hello to all of our WTWW listeners. If you've got anything ham radio related that you want to mentioned on the big TWW, you can just send it via email. The email address is real easy to remember. It's email at WTWW.us. We're going to talk about Jamboree on the Air with Jim Wilson coming up a little bit later on too. So Bob, big show. Let's go ahead and kick that thing off, shall we?
Well, let's do it. I'm going to have to step in and do this early because I got to get out of here. I'm headed out to California. No, there aren't any fires, or at least there weren't today. They're up north of where we're going. We're going to San Ramon, which is at the south of the bay, and Pacificon. It's a great convention. I'm always honored to be asked to come and do a presentation. So I got to get out of here early, but I have some great Pine Board stuff tonight, little Pine Board and a little other things. So on the other things, I got a note, and I'm almost embarrassed. I didn't get the guy's name, but he sent this picture warning everybody, you know, it's time to change your batteries. And it's not just batteries in your fire alarms. Look at the stuff that can happen in remote controls. This was the back of a remote. You don't use them that much, but you really do. But you don't take them apart and look at them, and you should. And these are Duracells. These are great batteries. So I wanted to say something about that to warn all of us to check those batteries. You'd be surprised. I check them every once in a while around here, and it's like, oh, my gosh. So you want to do that. So we want to move on today with our Pine Board presentation. First of all, remember, we're dealing with high voltage. Please, please be aware of that. And you want to make sure that when you're doing the high voltage stuff that you have your chipstick handy. You remember the chipstick. K9MIT came up with this idea. That broadcast transmitters have these. George has had many of them in his hand. You cannot open the back of the transmitter that Randy is sitting in front of there at the Twitch Studios. It has a huge, we call it the chicken stick. And the chip came up, says this is a chipstick, and it's built on the back of a Lowe's paint stick. So that's what I did this one with. But you clip this baby to ground, and then you want to go around to all the capacitors, all of the places there are voltage, hold it on there for a little bit. And even though we have bleeder resistors, they sometimes don't all discharge, or sometimes it might be a little crazy that one of the capacitors goes bad, and now what do? You open it up, and bingo, you're across it. I want to show you this. This came from another viewer. This is a very nice project from years ago, and he still has it. And it was built from the old Become a Ham Radio, Radio Amateur it is, yes, from ARRL. And so these are the way things were done back in the 50s. And he still had his, I'm very proud, power supply. And then the amplifier transmitter is the CW transmitter. So what we want to do tonight is I'm going to answer a lot of questions. Because tonight we're going to give you voltages. And this will help you as you get moving around and you get things going. If you need to check things out, here you go. And this is where you start, right here. This is the power supply. And we'll point out a few things here with it. One thing, note that I have two voltages on this one. Check the power supply before you turn the transmitter on. And we're going to show you how to do that tonight. We haven't done that yet. But we will show you how you turn that transmitter on and make it talk. So here's the deal. You'll notice here at this particular point, and these are voltages with the bridge. And I really think all of you might want to do this. It's a very simple thing, but it sure makes things a lot better. Maybe next week I'll do one with the 1-watt transmitter. The voltages will be pretty much the same, but they're going to be a little lower. 400 volts is idle. That's just a power supply turned on. But when you get it all hooked up with the preamp and the transmitter and you get it all turned on and you're producing a signal, that will become 350 volts. Now, one thing I did here, and I suggest you do this, I have two B pluses coming out of here now. This B plus, since it's for the final, doesn't need all the filtering that the preamp does, and the preamp doesn't need all of that voltage. So I took another lead, come out with another terminal, and that's 350 volts, and you'll see here in a second that feeds the transmitter only, just the transmitter. So there you are with all the voltages. At this particular point that's going to feed the preamp, it's 190 volts under load with the transmitter on. It's 170 volts. So there are your voltages. You want to check those, and if you don't have those, something's not correct. But that's the first thing that you want to check is the power supply. Next, then, will be the microphone preamplifier. And the nice thing about all this is there's not a whole lot of places to really check it, but they're important. First of all, and this is with everything hooked up and going. You're going to find 80 volts on the 12AX7 plate. And one of the reasons you're going to feed this 170, remember back at the transmitter, the power supply, remember we have 170 volts of B+. That's coming in to here. Why do we only have 80 volts on the plate? Because of this guy right here and the current that this is drawing. So you're going to see about 80 volts. It could be 90. It's going to vary a little bit, but it's not going to be 10 and it's not going to be 170. It's going to be 80 volts. And then the other side of the tube will be about 100 volts. And here's an important measurement. At the cathode of that second section, it's 0.7. That's less than a volt. 0.7. That will give you all of the voltages you need to make sure your preamp is working. And if it's not working and you're not getting a signal through it, we'll go into that later because we'll have to put a signal through it and find out where you lost it. But it's a pretty simple device, and if you have all of this connected right, you won't have any trouble. You will have output. Then we get to the transmitter, the final transmitter. And the transmitter is really great. I am so thrilled at what's going on with this thing. I'm having more fun. I worked a guy in Chicago today on 40 meters with it, 5 watts AM. And that's, I don't know, it's 400 miles and the 3.5, it's up there quite a ways. Okay, now remember, we came in. Remember I told you, let's go back again. I have a separate lead of 350 volts under transmit load. That's a separate lead that I brought in here. That comes into the B-plus side of the transmitter. But I put a switch in it. And that switch is our transmit switch. And we later on are going to have a double pole to switch the antenna relays. But I'm taking this very slow for all of you. And that's how we're going to do that. And it works great. I don't have a relay. I switch the antennas manually. I use my right hand to turn this on the pine board, and I take my left hand up here on my panel and switch the relay, switch that switches the relay. But you can do this all together if you want. We'll show you how to do that. But for now, we got to get it working. 350 in on that new separate lead gets us 2.5 on the other side of that resistor. Through the choke, 3.5 becomes 340. And through the choke and this resistor, we end up with 95 volts on pin 6 and on 330 volts on pin 8 of this 6AG7. And that's really all the voltages you can check and that are meaningful. One warning. These tubes run really hot. I mean, enough to cause you a bad burn. So be careful. You do not want to touch these. And it's okay. Gosh, I've used 6AG7 since I was 15 years old. 16, something like that, in the 20A that you see behind me over here. They use 6AG7s, and I'm telling you, they are burning red hot. They're designed to do that. So I just want to alert you, those are going to run hot. 6V6 even runs very hot. And here's the other layout. This might give you a little different view of those voltages. Now, here is that separate lead. Remember, we talked about running a new lead. You can take this back to the B+, and we're talking about this B+, but that's only going to give you about 190 volts. If we take that out of here, we don't need that extra filtering on the transmitter. It's clean enough to do that. We come out here at 3.5, and that 3.5 just really smokes. That baby gets, we're right at 4.5 to 5 watts, and it works so well. So what you do there, you put your transmit switch, and I'll show you in a minute how I did that physically. And everything else will be shown on the schematic. But there's how we worked it all out, and it just works so well. I got to tell you, I'm excited about it. And let me come over here. What we're going to do here, I'll show you what I did with that switch. There's what I did with my switch. Right there. I don't have any power on this thing right now, but that's my transmit switch. And it works out really well. That transmit switch is two wires, and I take that transmit switch back to the back. I had an extra screw terminal. So we come in with the purple wire that feeds. Get over here, Kyle. I'm a terrible cameraman. this feeds the purple wire. Right there. That's coming straight out. Come on here. Trying to do this over my shoulder. And then next door to it is the other tab for your the other side of the switch. And that works really good. I've had excellent luck this week, and I've used it a lot. So those are some of the things that will help you get started in checking things and making sure they work. And if they don't, well, we got other problems. But boy, it's going to be rare if all those voltages are correct. So I hope that helps you. And I've gotten an awful lot of email from different folks asking me to do that. So this starts it off and away we go. I do have some happy news for you. And it looks pretty official. I have finished 6 pages of article, and I sent the last pictures today. Somewhere at the first of the year, QST will have a major article about the Pine Board on Ham Nation. I'm very proud, honored about this, that they've accepted
the.
This is good stuff. And so we'll have more people exposed to Pine Board as well as Ham Nation. So it's really a great thing. I'm happy about that. Very happy. Well, let's move things around here. As I said, I'm going to have to rip out of here because I got to go catch an airplane early in the morning, but I got to get things all tidied up and pack my bag. I didn't do that today. I had to take pictures today for the article, but that's okay. But we're going to move over to Don. He's got some interesting things about how we can get money to buy all these parts from antique electronic supply. How you doing, Don? You okay?
Yeah, I'm doing just fine. I don't know. What have you heard? No, I think
I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. Let's talk about Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage is has been a sponsor of Ham Nation for the last, 3 weeks in a row, I think, now. So a mortgage is kind of important. Everybody's going to need one at some point in their life. And Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is a great way to do it. The mortgage experience, quite frankly, wasn't keeping up with the times. It had gotten dated, needed a client-focused technological revolution, and that is exactly why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing the home that you have. It's simple, allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's convenient. Trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. Very powerful, whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage will help you perform thousands of calculations. Actually, it'll do it for you. Thousands of calculations in seconds. And based on your income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify and find the one that is just perfect for you. It's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. That is rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. Rocket Mortgage is an equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLS consumeraccess.org number 3030. And Rocket Mortgage, thank you so much for being a part of Ham Nation. We appreciate your support. Let's go ahead and get into the news of the week now from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2085, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, October 18th, 2017. We open with an update on amateur assistance to Puerto Rico. Not quite a month after Hurricane Maria's devastating hit, hams are helping to get that struggling island on its feet.
Not all the ham radio assistance going on in Puerto Rico has been happening on the air. The team of amateur radio operators deployed to the storm-wracked island has been able to provide some real boots-on-the-ground aid in assessing the supply needs at area hospitals, reuniting families, and even installing a mountaintop repeater that now covers more than half of Puerto Rico and serves part of the U.S. Virgin Islands. The volunteer team who answered the ARRL's earlier call for assistance included Gary Sessoms, KC5QCN, Valerie Hotzfeld, NV9L, and Andy Anderson, KE0AYJ. Hams have also been busy cataloging data into the Safe and Well website used by the Red Cross and providing storm survivors with access to satellite phones or cellular service to telephone loved ones with their whereabouts and condition. The volunteers' deployment has been further assisted by donations of radios and other equipment. 40 ICOM handheld radios were donated by El Paso Communications Systems, and the YASME Foundation is making a repeater available for installation at the Arecibo Observatory. Meanwhile, the Northern California DX Foundation has made a grant of $2,500 to the ARRL's Ham Aid Fund, which provides resources to hurricane-ravaged regions in the Caribbean and the U.S. The grant will be available for future storm response. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW.
If, like me, you have a high school senior in your household who is also a licensed amateur radio operator, this story is for us.
If you're a licensed amateur planning to pursue a higher education, or if you know someone who is, you might start thinking now about the ARRL Foundation Scholarship Program. There are some new opportunities and new scholarships for the 2018 award year. More than 80 scholarships are being made available, with funding in the range from $500 to $5,000. Each scholarship has different requirements and qualifications, so you'll need to visit the ARRL Foundation Scholarship Program page on the league's website to sort through the list. The new scholarships being offered include the Ladies Amateur Radio Association of Orange County Scholarship, the Medical Amateur Radio Council Scholarship, the Harry A. Hodges W6YOO Scholarship, and the Old Man International Sideband Society Scholarship, among others. Applicants should complete the form available on the ARRL website and have until February 15th, 2018 to send along their most recent academic transcript. Please note, however, that the applications themselves must be received by the ARRL by the 31st of January. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jerry Goodrich, KF5KRN.
While we're on the subject of school-age hams, the fall session of the School Club Roundup is going on now and runs through Friday, October 20th.
It's a great chance for schools to get on the air and talk to each other. But it's also a great chance to expose young people to ham radio by making contacts with anyone and everyone. So get on the air and listen for schools participating in the roundup. There is one temporary last-minute change being made to the semi-annual event due to the number of hurricane-related nets in the usually recommended segment on 20 meters from 14.250 to 14.280. School Club Roundup sponsors are urging participants to stay clear of these frequencies to avoid unintentional interference. So look for schools just above and below those frequencies. While the recommended frequencies on other bands should not be affected, staying away from similar nets on other bands is still encouraged. As always, be sure to listen first. For more information about School Club Roundup, visit ARRL.org/school-club-roundup. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Jim Dameron in 8TMW, Jerry Goodrich, KF5KRN, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We have a gorgeous solar storm that was launched on the sun's backside from a region that used to be an X-flare player. And a tiny coronal hole rotates into the Earth's strike zone, and it might even give us a flash of aurora. Those stories and more in the news this week. Solar activity is really picking up this week. We have an old region, 2673, that used to be that X-flare player during the hurricanes. Well, it is about to rotate into Earth view. It's launched a gorgeous solar storm that's not Earth-directed on the sun's backside, and that has given us a bump up in solar flux, which you amateur radio operators must absolutely love. It's also going to be rotating into Earth view here in the next couple days, so the solar flux will continue to rise just a little bit. Meanwhile, we have this tiny little coronal hole that is going to be moving into the Earth strike zone here in the next couple days. It's not going to give us a really big pocket of fast wind, but it could give us enough to give us just a few hours of aurora. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating the hit from that fast wind, from that tiny coronal hole that's rotating into the Earth's strike zone here in the next couple days. NOAA is expecting at high latitudes at least active conditions, which could even roll into storm conditions, maybe even a 30% chance of a major storm. We will know more as this region gets closer to the Earth's strike zone. At mid-latitudes, we're only expecting unsettled to maybe active conditions with maybe about a 25% chance of a minor storm at mid-latitudes. And then that shouldn't last all that long. By about the beginning of the week, things should calm down reasonably quickly and we'll be pretty much back to normal. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, we do have a spotless sun right now, folks. So what that means is for solar flares, we are completely in the green. There's no risk for radio blackouts. We do have the remnant of region 2673 that's going to be rotating into Earth view here in the next day or so. The positive thing about that is that it means that solar flux is on the rise. So you amateur radio operators that have been struggling with amateur radio propagation, you are in luck. Things should be bumping back up just a little bit to get you back into the marginal levels. So this is good news, and it should last easily for the next couple weeks. So the space weather this week is beginning to pick up just a little bit. We have the remnants of region 2673 that used to be that X-flare player. It has fired off a gorgeous solar storm and gives us a lot of eye candy. It's going to be rotating into Earth view here in the next couple days, and we can hope it continues to give us some eye candy. Meanwhile, it's bumped up the solar flux just a little bit, which I know you amateur radio operators and emergency responders to all the hurricanes, there's still so much work to do. You guys need as much help as you can get when it comes to radio propagation. So this is a nice little boost for you, which should last for probably the next 2 weeks. Meanwhile, we have that small coronal hole that is going to be rotating into the Earth strike zone here in the next couple days. It should give us a little pocket of fast wind, maybe enough to bump us up to storm levels for a day or so. So your aurora photographers, you know, you might get a chance. You keep those shutter fingers ready, but things should calm down pretty quickly into the beginning of next week. And about middle of next week, we should be pretty much back to normal. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
As always, another amazingly excellent report from Dr. T, and we wish her the happiest of birthdays. She's just amazing. We're so lucky to have her on our team. That is for sure. So happy birthday tomorrow on the 19th, Dr. Tamitha Scove. My pleasure now to welcome to the show someone who is very, very happy to hear that the solar flux numbers are coming up and therefore a little bit more propagation. That would be Jim Wilson, K5ND. Jim's going to tell us a little bit about Jamboree on the Air. Now, Jim, first off, good to see you again tonight and good to see you at the Xenia for Hamvention this year. It had been a while since we'd seen each other. Tell the viewers a little bit about your background with the Scouts and Jamboree on the Air for those who may not be familiar.
Oh, you bet, Don. And thanks for having me on the show. I'll mention we are indeed excited if there's going to be better propagation because propagation is not typically our friend, or it hasn't been, but it's Jamboree on the Air. It's this weekend. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's local time. It's not like a contest where it starts at 0 hours GMT and rolls through, but it's at local time as it rolls around the world. But it's the 60th year of Jamboree on the Air. And it started in 1957. After the World Scout Jamboree, there were some ham radio operators that said, hey, this was really great. How do we do it every year? And that's when it began 60 years ago. Les Mitchell, G3BHK, is credited with founding it. But it is a scouting event. Its purpose is to enable scouts to communicate with one another for a fun, educational, and a sense of belonging to a World Scout movement. So we kind of think of it as an amateur radio activity, but it's really, really a scouting activity. And it's very popular as well. There's last year we counted 1.5 million scouts that got on the air across 33,000 stations in 150 countries. So it's the largest scouting event in the world. And so far this year, we take registrations of stations. About an hour ago, I looked and found world registrations were at 4,700. The U.S. registrations at 627. We're still a few days out from the event, and I think last year we had 11,000 registrations. They all come pouring in at the last minute. So I can keep going on here. I'll note we have you reported that the club roundup, school club roundup, was advising people to steer clear of nets and the emergency traffic out of the Caribbean. We certainly have that same caution that is out there. There's also a lot of contests that are going on during the weekend. We typically ask to steer clear of that. In fact, the biggest contest that goes on is the Worktal Germany contest, and they actually have established contest-free frequencies that keep clear of the scouting frequencies. And you can find those scouting frequencies on the websites, the scouting.org/JOTA website and the K2BSA website will point those out. And then our big emphasis is, okay, go out there and have some fun, but tell us what happened. We want to hear the stories. We want to hear that. We want to count the numbers. If we don't have numbers, are we sure anything really happened? So we have ICOM America this year again donated an ID51A. That's a part of a drawing. File your station report, and you're in a drawing for an ID51A. And there's a nifty certificate that you can pick up as well. Yep, that's the news about Jamboree on the Air.
I have a question for you, Jim. For those who may not have ever worked Jamboree on the Air, it's not just scouts talking to scouts. It's scouts talking to everyone. So what, if any, what is the suggested, like in Field Day, the suggested exchange? Is there a suggested exchange for Jamboree on the Air that the scouts give to each other and that, say, we as general public or whatever will give to the scouts? Is there a suggested exchange?
No, it is really a conversation. There are some online games and codes that are exchanged. That happens a little bit in the U.S., a lot in the rest of the world. But for guys that are just on the air, in fact, I've witnessed this myself, a net, in fact, just shut down and started talking to the scouts. It was the most incredible thing. I was listening to it on the air, but it is really a conversation. And it's like, hey, I remember when I was in scouts, I earned the radio merit badge. It got me started on ham radio. How about you? Are you working on the radio merit badge, or what rank are you? Are you at a camp? Are you at a school? Just the general kinds of conversation things would be fine. And you're absolutely right. We encourage ham radio operators that happen to come across a little higher voice calling CQ Jamboree on the Air to go ahead and answer. It's one of the, when I get these reports in, it's one of the concerns that comes back. People get on the air, they're calling CQ, nobody comes back to them. The scouts get discouraged, the operators get discouraged. So it's just fine. Answer back, get in some conversations, ask them about scouting, ask them about ham radio. Have fun with it and share some of your own stories as well. Yeah, I was in Jamboree on the Air and back in '01, you know, that sort of thing.
Right. So it's basically, it's get on and show the scouts the best side of amateur radio. And another way to get involved, I actually did this several years ago, is if there's a local club or you know of a ham that's in your community who is hosting scouts, for Jamboree on the Air, because after all, not every scout troop is going to have a ham radio station, so they've got to go somewhere. A lot of times local clubs will open up their clubhouses, local hams will open up their stations, and the scouts will come over and operate. If you know of a location where the scouts are invited to go and operate, by all means, if you can, go over there and help them operate the radio, and that way you'll see firsthand, get to witness the look of amazement and excitement and wonder on their faces as they reach out and talk to somebody who may be across town on a repeater or maybe across the world on the other end of a sideband conversation, or even on something like PSK 31 or RIDI if they're opening that up to them. So it's an amazing thing to get out and watch. And I just think Jamboree on the Air is amazing. I had no idea it was going on for 60 years, Jim. This is very cool. So again, maybe give us one more brief kind of a thumbnail rundown of how people can get involved in Jamboree on the Air, and tell us again how it all works.
Well, it's not only on the air, but it's Jamboree on the internet. But there's also all the internet modes that you can use with ham radio. Echolink is very popular. D-Star, I can recall, it's been a few years ago, I talked to Ray Novak on D-Star. He was in Mozambique at a de-expedition, and I had to wait in line because of all the scouts that were talking to him first. So D-Star, DMR, Echolink, IRLP, there's a couple of Echolink nodes, conference nodes, JOTA-365 and JMBO, Jambo, is another Echolink conference node. So it's you can indeed talk around the world even without propagation being helpful to us.
That's awesome. Well, Jim, I want to thank you for coming on tonight and giving us a little preview into Jamboree on the Air. That, of course, again, is this weekend. You said Friday, Saturday, and Sunday local time. So no set times to operate. Just if it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, get on the air and start listening for Jamboree on the Air stations.
Exactly. A lot of the scouts are at camp. Ideally, a big event is a camporee. So there's lots of scout troops there, lots of scouts, and ham radio can be there as well. Not as the primary activity necessarily, but one more activity. They do a lot of fox hunting as well around Jamboree on the Air. It's engaging scouts with amateur radio, and the stations will be on all day long, in the night, you name it, they'll be on. So, get on the air, hand out some QSOs, help them on the other side of that conversation. That'd be very, very helpful.
Jim, thanks again for joining us tonight. Jim Wilson, K5ND, with the Boy Scouts and Jamboree on the Air. You're a great ambassador for the Scouts and for Ham Radio, and we're proud to call you a friend of Ham Nation. So thanks again, and good luck to you and everybody else operating Jamboree on the Air. Good to see you, my friend.
Thank you, Don. Thanks very much. And we feel Ham Nation's a friend of scouting as well. And we really, really appreciate you getting the word out. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. We do what we can do. Jim Wilson, K5ND. Thank you, sir. Good night. We'll talk to you next time there's something to talk about scouting.
Okay, let's good talk night.
Good night, sir. Let's talk about another great sponsor of Ham Nation. That would be Casper. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses, and you can get these premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry because they're cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms, and they pass the savings directly to you, the consumer. The Casper mattress is an obsessively engineered mattress, and you get it at a fair price. Casper is made of supportive memory foams for a sleep surface with just the right sink, just the right bounce. Plus, its breathable design helps cool your sleep and help you regulate your temperature throughout the night. The Casper mattress gives you long-lasting comfort and support. You can buy it easily online, completely risk-free. It's a whole new way to buy mattresses. Leo Laporte from Twit, he has a Casper mattress. It was shipped to his house, and he loves it. So do like Leo. In fact, here you'll see the Casper mattress actually arriving at Leo's house in the box. He's going to unbox it and then do the patented Leo Laporte belly flip. This, or belly flop, this is worth watching. Casper understands the importance of truly trying out a mattress that in all reality you're going to spend a third of your life on. Free delivery, paintless returns with a 100-day period, so you don't have to lie down on a showroom, which basically, statistically, lying on a bed in a showroom does absolutely nothing for you. Has no correlation to whether the bed is right for you. Here we go. 3, 2, and... Yep. There it is. The Leo Laporte belly flop. That shows you the quality of the Casper mattress right there. It's the right bed for Leo. It will be the right bed for you. Casper recently introduced the Casper Wave mattress that features natural geometry support system and a new top layer. Casper mattresses uphold the highest environmental protection standards. They're made in the USA and free shipping and returns to the US and Canada and now across the pond to the UK. Get a Casper mattress today. You can save an additional $50 towards a mattress purchase by going to casper.com/hamnation. Enter promo code hamnation. casper.com/hamnation. The promo code is hamnation, all one word. Terms and conditions apply. If at time you got a great night's sleep, I think you should do that. You should go to casper.com/hamnation as soon as hamnation is over and get your sleep on. All right, George, what do we got? What do we got going on? We got Randy in studio. We got you. We got it's just a wild orgy of happiness and excitement.
Yeah, Don. Well, you know, I mentioned earlier I don't have that radio here tonight. It's gone. It was shipped out Monday. It went out to Ed Thomas, KD8KCT, who won the random drawing. Congratulations, Ed. He's in North Canton, Ohio. So I know he's going to enjoy that radio. As a matter of fact, I got an email from him today that said his shipping department was busy today, but he'll be receiving that radio tomorrow. So I know the unboxing department will be busy tomorrow. So congrats again, Ed. You're really going to like that radio. And don't fear, everyone. I've got another one here. We're going to get not a 7300. I've got another ICOM rig right here. We're going to give away in just a few moments. It's the ID4100A. We'll talk a little bit about that, you know, nice rig there, and somebody's going to win that this month. Well, right now, we've got our old friend Randy, K7AGE, out in the Twitch studios live tonight. Hi, Randy. What have you been up to?
Well, not a whole lot during the summer. It's one of the kind of been a slow time working on ham projects, but part of going to PacificCon is to go to a lot of the sessions and get, you know, motivated and energized again to go back working on some ham projects. So I brought in the SWR bridge here that we started, or that I started a couple months ago, and in the pine board flavor of things, I've got it now mounted on a old hunk of wood. Here's the bridge sticker that I built up. And, you know, I have an old 1 milliamp meter here. In fact, it's cracked, held on with a, you know, some number 10 wire and, you know, a couple connectors on the back to hook the antenna from the transmitter through there to do some measurements. So I'll be working on finishing this up and going on to a newer generation version of one of these things.
Cool. So, did you have something else to say about it?
Not that, but I have the next generation in the Altoids can here. So let's take a quick look at that. And what I have in here, a couple things. This is a SWR bridge kit from Kits and Parts. They have a lot of neat little kits and a lot of parts, a lot of toroids and different wires and all sorts of things. So here's a little kit they sell. I think it's like $11 or $10. And what I want to do is use this little nano Arduino processor to interface to the board and drive this OLED display and build a more modern version of an SWR meter.
So you can't call that a pine board. What will you call it? Have you coined a name for it yet?
No, but I think it may all fit in there. So.
Okay. I think it will. Well, that looks that looks quite interesting there. Did you find the project online, or are you sitting down and figuring all this out on the fly?
No. I go look at other people's work and take and borrow from it. So Here's a couple of Arduino ham radio books. This is the one that ARL sells, the the Glenn Popiel book. And this one's from Jack Purdom. And they've got a lot of ham radio projects in here. They both have SWR meters. In fact, I think this one actually talks, if you want to go that far. But you can go through here and look at the code that the guys used and pick out pieces that may work for your project.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. Is I look around, I find something that's sort of like what I want to do, and you know, all that stuff's open source, so I'll take pieces of that, get a few more pieces from somewhere else until you've got you know, the parts you need to make what you want, and then just stick them all together. I always, you know, said doing that kind of thing is well, it's like building a project, except you don't keep running to Radio Shack for the parts.
Yeah, you don't have to use a soldering iron as much. So, you know, it's kind of the modern version of doing projects. You do it in software now with a, you know, $2 or $3, $4 computer chip.
Yeah. So how is your house coming along? I know you've probably been busy with that this summer.
Yeah. Well, we were all set to go beginning of December, and then we had like one of the rainiest Oregons ever. I think we had over 100 inches from about the end of December through the end of May. So basically June 1st they started. Last week the truss all showed up, and I talked to the contractor today, and they're all standing up now. All the plywood sheeting is on the sides, and they'll be rushing to get the plywood up on top of those truss because the rain is starting again in Oregon, another 4 inches or so in the next couple days. So we'll see how they do.
Wow. So are they going to complete the ham shack first? Is that the instructions?
Well, that corner's kind of done, and that kind of segues into the next thing I wanted to talk about before we go to Amanda, is that, let me get this stuff out of the way. About a month ago, I contacted her, and I said, I need some new cards made up. So I sent her the pictures I took of the view that I will have from my ham shack, along with my, which back then was my new Oregon ham license plate. And she laid all this out, and we did the back. She did all that. And, you know, the different things that you need, and maybe we should talk about that sometime in the future. You know, the county, what a grid square is, the CQ zone, the ITU zone and such, things that you want to have on your cards. So custom QSL cards by K1 DNN. Thanks, Amanda. It was great.
Cool. Well, so you're headed to PacificCon. I wish I could be there this year, but I'm not going to. Are you doing a presentation this year, or are you strictly going to look around and take it all in?
I'm doing my typical PSK31 presentation that I keep changing a little bit each year, and I have towards the end of it, I talk about a lot of the other digital modes, because once you have your interface running for PSK31, you could do slow scan TV, you could do JT65, Hellschreiber, a couple others, and now including the new one that's really catching fire, FT8. So we'll talk about those a little bit. And I believe my talk is 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon, if people still have the energy to sit and listen for an hour.
I'm sure they will. Everybody's seems to be getting into this FT8. I have not yet. I'll be honest, I haven't had a chance to play digital modes lately, but that's definitely one on my list.
Well, I found it easier. You know, typically when you go into these new modes, you go around and find somebody that's sending CQ and you answer them. But with FT8, you have about a second and a half to decide what to do. So I found it's actually easier to call CQ and let the people come back to you, because it happens in a 15-second cycle instead of a 30-second cycle for JT65. So it runs a lot faster. The band is filled full of people. You look on there in the waterfall sometimes, it'll be 10-plus stations, and they're working all over. I fired up a couple weeks ago, and you know, I heard a guy from South Africa. I worked several in Japan and South America and stuff with about, you know, 20 watts and a low antenna.
Wow. So is it, and, you know, I'll just show my ignorance because I haven't really looked into it yet. I'm aware of it, and I know people are really enjoying it and just making contacts left and right. Is it very narrow slice of spectrum there you can operate in?
Yeah, I think it's, I forget now, maybe 50 hertz or so. It's pretty narrow. So wow. In the 2.5 KC bandwidth of your sideband filter, you see, 8, 10, 12, 15 stations all spaced out across the and the space there, the bandwidth.
So you can have simultaneous FT8 conversations going on there at the same time, offset a little bit from each other. It's not like everybody's trying to occupy a single frequency.
Right. It's very similar to, the waterfall display you see in PSK31. You see all the stations. So you tune by clicking in the waterfall, and that sets your transmit and receive frequency. It does that by changing the audio tone frequency, not by turning the knob as such. So It works pretty neat.
Well, that does sound neat, Randy. I'm going to have to catch up on that and make a few contacts, too. I hear everybody else having fun with it. So, it's probably getting close to time for me to do something with it. Well, anything else you would like to tell the audience here about tonight before we move on?
No, I just thanks for everybody here in the Twitch studio. There's a lot of fires in this area, and I was asking Victor and Bert here earlier about the all the staff here at Twit, and everybody survived the fires okay. So that was really good news to hear from all the Twit people. So otherwise, I wish you were out here so we could do our drive down and hit the In-N-Out Burger and fries and Harbor Freight and everything on our way down to Pacifica.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was at Harbor Freight earlier today, so I don't feel completely left out.
What'd you pick up for free?
I didn't have my coupons with me, so I missed out.
You got to have your 20% coupon and your free coupon, so.
You need to, I guess, just keep those with you at all times because you never know.
And I saw just somebody in the chat room wanted to know where these kits were from. It's kitsandparts.com. So we answered that one.
Cool. All right, Randy, great to see you again. And, you've got a lot going on. Hopefully the rain won't delay you too much longer on the home building there, but I know it's getting to be that time of year. So take care there and come back to see us again.
You bet. And thanks a lot for having me on tonight. Good to see everybody. And looking forward to see Bob and Gordo and all the Ham Nation viewers in the next couple of days in Pacificon.
Yeah. I don't know. You're making me homesick now, although I'm not from there. I want to go. All right, 73, Randy.
73.
Last week I asked a question out of Gordo's book, out of his extra exam book here. And what was it? What is the result of skin effect? And your choices were as frequency increases, RF current flows in a thinner layer of the conductor closer to the surface. As frequency decreases, RF current flows in a thinner layer of the conductor closer to the surface. Thermal effects of the surface of the conductor increase the impedance, or thermal effects on the surface of the conductor decrease the impedance. Well, we had a winner, and John Hatfield, K4SAG from Tampa, knew that, the result of the skin effect is as the frequency increases, RF current flows in a thinner layer of the conductor closer to the surface. So, if you've got a piece of wire out there, as your frequency gets higher, that RF is going to be flowing around the outer edge of it, not so much through the center of it there. So that's why a lot of times on HeliX, you might notice that the center conductor in there is not solid. It's actually hollow because there would be no benefit for it having a solid center conductor since, all the RF is going to be running around the outer edge of it there. So congrats. We're going to be sending you an MFJ 270 Guardian Angel Surge Suppressor. These are gas tube sort suppressors. Put them in line in your antenna. Connect it to ground. And these are good from DC to 1 gigahertz. So they'll cover any frequency. They're available in both standard SO239 PL259 size connectors or type N. This one is good for 400 watts PEP, and the MFJ272 is good for 1500 watts PEP. So, you know, just you won't say that it can prevent every lightning strike that you will get, because nothing will do that, but it puts one more layer of protection between your rig and the lightning. And, you know, I've used these for years and never had an issue. So really handy device there. Thanks for that, MFJ. Well, I've got something else we're going to give away next week. And here it is right here. It's a DX Engineering sport bag from our friends at DX Engineering. This one is mine right here, so I'm keeping it. But DX Engineering is going to ship out one to some lucky viewer. And we've got a question for that viewer. And it's, well, it's a pretty simple one. I don't think we talked about it tonight, but should be easy enough to come up with the answer. You know, Randy, Bob, Gordo, and a whole lot of people are headed to PacificCon. I want to know who sponsors PacificCon every year. If you think you know the answer to that, send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might win this nice DX Engineering sport bag. And we'll be back in just a moment, and we'll talk about this radio we're giving away. But first, let's have a message from ICOM.
Heard it, worked it, logged it. It's time to get the transceiver best suited for your lifestyle. ICOM offers a variety of high-performance and innovative products. See how you can make the most out of this contest season with one of these. Ideal for the ham on the go, the IC7300 is a high-performance HF transceiver with a compact design. Don't miss a weak signal with a combination of a waterfall function and real-time spectrum scope. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. The IC7851 will give you the competitive edge you've been looking for. Raise the bar and hear what others cannot with this HF 50 MHz transceiver. Reciprocal mixing dynamic, crystal clear local oscillator design, spectrum scope, dual receivers, digital voice recorder, and more. Can't wait for the IC7610. The IC7600 is still available and at a great price. Following in the footsteps of ICOM's flagship radio, the IC7600 offers intuitive operation and the latest DSP technologies. Digital IF filter, dual DSP, 5.8-inch ultra-wide TFT display, high-resolution real-time spectrum scope, and more. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win. After each episode of Ham Nation, go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation and register to win for great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for this month, that radio is going to be the ICOM ID4100A entry-level D-Star mobile with big rig features. It's a dual-band rig, built-in GPS receiver, full dot matrix display, micro SD card slot for voice and data storage, and there's an available Android or iOS application. Of course, it does both analog and D-Star. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation after this in each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Someone's going to be winning this at the end of the month, and might as well be you, the ICOM ID4100A. ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. And now let's get Amanda in here and see what's going on in the chat room tonight. Amanda?
Well, good evening, George. It's so nice to have Randy on, too. Randy, you stuck around for some questions, didn't you?
Yes, I have.
Yep. Okay, that's great. So a coupler for me personally, first of all, thanks for the mention of the QSL card. I love doing that stuff. Yeah. Just a couple more questions about FT8 that I might have either missed or you didn't mention. Do you need special software to do that, or can you operate it from your updated version of Ham Radio Deluxe like you do PSK31?
I don't believe Ham Radio Deluxe offers that, but the WSJT-X software from Joe Taylor, which is free, does the FT8, the JT65, some other modes, Whisper. So you just get that piece of software and you can run a lot of these modes.
Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to know is, do you need anything special? Like, I'm not very into the digital stuff. I haven't done anything from PSK probably in about 4 years, mostly ever since I switched over to the 7600, mm-hmm. Even though it should be easier. Give me a rundown. Do I need anything special to run it from my 7600, or just kind of plug and play with the software and make it talk to the 7600? It's already ready to recognize that.
It kind of depends on the vintage of your radio.
Okay.
You know, many of the newer radios have a USB connection on the back, and they support both an internal sound card within the radio as well as radio control. Two different things, but they do that both through a, you know, USB connection. So I'm not sure if your radio does that, but I know a lot of the, you know, late model Icons do that. If you have a radio that doesn't do that, a very popular interface is the Signal Link, USB. So it's a little box with some knobs in the front. It plugs into the USB plug on the side of your computer, and then you get a cable for your radio, and it typically connects to the data plug on the back. There you go. You got one. So just get one of those. They're about $100, and you can basically run all the digital modes through that.
Yeah, Amanda, you don't need that. You don't need the Signal Link for your 7600. I have a 7600 as well, and it does have a USB plug on the back of it. It just plugs straight into the computer. It has the sound card and the rig control built in via that single cable. So all you need is the WSJT-X software. And make sure you get the latest release candidate. I think they're on release candidate 2 or 3 now. So make sure that you update that. Yeah, another one just came out. So make sure you get that updated when they do the new ones, and because they're constantly updating that. I've not done much FT8, but I have done some other things with the WSJTX software, and it works just great on your 7600, Amanda.
Very good. You know, what would be fun, maybe I'll have Jeff help me document trying to make it work for the first time. That'd be interesting. That way people know that we don't practice this and get it going from scratch. You can see all the problems I run into. I think that would be fun. All right. A couple of announcements. Again, Randy, thanks. Have some fun this weekend. And hopefully the smoke isn't too bad over that away. Let's see. For JODA, we have a JODA station here very nearby me, K0A. So listen out for them. I was planning on trying to be there to help operate. Some family matters came up and I can't make it, but say hello to them if you hear them, and go out there and work the rest of them. Let's see. I had skipped over KC7FPF last week. He was operating during a special event, and he wanted us all to know about it, about during Fire Prevention Week. I'm so sorry, Kevin, that I missed that. He's our net control, you know, on 40 meters. And to make up for it, we're going to be talking about a very special subject. He helped save someone's life during that special event, and he handled some emergency traffic. So we're going to hopefully have Kevin on here real soon to talk about what he did to help save someone's life out there in Puerto Rico. And we really appreciate all of his efforts on HF for us every week. So let's see, one more announcement. KE8DAC Brett, he just upgraded to general. Yay, Brett. Woo-hoo! Just in time to get on the air. DX contest is coming out the weekend after next, and you're gonna have some fun, so get on there. I think that's all the questions I had. Yes, Randy, you said you made it to In-N-Out Burger, but did you make it to Fry's Electronics, or do you have one of those where you live?
We don't have anything like that where I live on the southern Oregon coast. So from tomorrow, as I drive down to PacificCon, I will be stopping probably at a couple Harbor Freights so I can get something at 20% off and get a free whatever. And then there's an In-N-Out Burger real close to a Fry's on the way. So that's what I'm doing tomorrow. So it's a fun day.
That's going to be a good day.
Yeah,
well, that's all I have. I don't know who's wrapping it up. Don, are you taking it away, or are you, George?
We'll flip a coin.
Don. Yeah, you won.
I've been drafted. All right, very good. Well, Amanda, where are the Nets tonight? Do you have those frequencies? I've been seeing them in the chat room, but did you?
We have 7192, where Kevin will be. I think 20 meters, Steve, W7UDI, he actually had to go on a fire call. He's a volunteer firefighter, and he said 20 meters was, anyways. 14, Charlie, for D-Star. And Echolink, we have Dewdrop in. And don't forget our newest DMR net, TAC 311. And they've been looking for some additional check-ins there, and maybe we're going to have to show people how they can get on that net and get it more popular. So that's what I've got.
Awesome. Amanda, thank you so much for everything you do for us. And happy birthday again to Dr. Tamitha Scove tomorrow. I'll not tell you her age. I'm not sure I know it exactly, but I know roundabout. But that's apparently that's on a need-to-know basis, and you people don't need to know. That's what she told me. So anyway, congratulations to Dr. T. We love her. We love having her be a part of the team. Randy, good to see you tonight. Awesome work. Always appreciate everything you do. The Pine Board Project, awesome as well. George, thanks for everything you do. And hopefully we'll have Gordon back next week. He's off at Pacificon, and hopefully we'll hear something from Valerie next week with an after-action report from Puerto Rico. They, like you said, Amanda, they're doing God's work there, the Force of 50, and they're rotating them in and out. So a lot of work left to be done down there. And, you know, we had a storm here, too, in South Mississippi, and luckily dodged a bullet with that one. Houston got hammered. Florida got hammered. Puerto Rico got hammered. We lucked out. So I'm doubly fortunate in that. But anyway, we'll and thanks also to Jim Wilson, K5ND, for coming on with Jamboree on the Air details. That'll do it for us tonight. And I guess we'll see you guys here next week here on the Twit Network for Ham Nation. So for the usual suspects here, I'm Don, 85W73. Good night. And we appreciate you being here. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.